morning, some brief reflections on the glories of summer. It's not as glorious, I would suggest, being in this building right now as it would be being at the park, but there's still plenty of glory to behold in this place as well. The inspiration I should just mention for this message comes from Paul Tripp in one of his devotions I was reading recently. It just kind of sparked my imagination, and so that led to the thoughts I want to share this morning. And in keeping with the picnic theme, it is brief, and I'm dressed casually, and I realize I have a t-shirt on. I think it's the first time I've worn a t-shirt inside this building on a Sunday morning, so I hope you're not offended by that. If you are, please talk to me. So summer, I want to suggest to you, summer is a time of invitation, and I want to look at it at one of the primary invitations that I think summer has for us, and it's an invitation to bask in all the glories of summer. The glories of summer are many. As I describe some of them, I hope they spark your imagination for the things that are glorious to you over the summer season. And not only are these glories many, but we're made to bask in them. Imagine the glory of the boat cutting through the water, the fresh spray and wind blowing across your face. Many of you don't have to imagine that. I think you experienced that yesterday. The glory of a large fish attacking the lure. The glory of the multi-hued stripes of a sunset enjoyed on English Bay. One of my favorite things to do in the summer. The glory of the cold, sweet wonder of ice cream or gelato on a hot summer afternoon. Also, by the way, available by English Bay. The glory of a dry-aged steak sizzling on a hot grill with a glorious IPA in hand. The glory of the trees dancing as the cool breeze blows through your campsite. Ah, the glories of summer. Glories that we're made to savor and to bask in. We're hardwired for glory. In fact, if we're honest, we're sort of glory junkies. We just always pursue glorious things, and we're always longing to drink in glory, to savor it, to bask in it. One taste of glory leads us hungry for more. Not only are we hardwired, but we're made to take in all this glory. We're made with ears to hear the morning call of the northern flicker. Eyes to behold the colors and textures and shapes of things around us. Hands and bodies to feel and to touch. Things that are soft, wet, hard, hot, sharp, cold, bumpy, smooth. Mouths and tongues to taste that know salty, sweet, bitter, one of my favorite tastes, sour, creamy, cold, spicy. We're hardwired, we're made to take in all this glory around us. And not only are we made to take in all this glory, but God has stuffed this world with glory. It's a wonderfully glorious world that we inhabit. And he's loaded this world with amazing things that are truly glorious. He's created us, humanity, made in his image with the capacity to create more glorious things to enjoy. We live in a world that does and should inspire our awe. Think of the inexhaustible pounding of the ocean waves, the tart crunchiness of an apple, the perfectly timed rhythm of a bee's wings in flight, the refreshing coolness of the wind across the lake, the stunning heights and finely cut edges of the mountain ranges, and thousands of other created sights and sounds, touches and tastes. The glories of summer are many, and we are made to bask and delight with awe in all the glory that surrounds us. Summer is an invitation to bask in glory. But here's the question. Why? Why all this glory? Why has God shoved our world so stuffed full with this glory? Why has God made us with these built-in capacities to savor and to bask in all this glory? Why has God put in our hearts the desires and longings for all things glorious? Why? The answer, Scripture and tradition is consistent. It's to point us to His glory, a glory that's reflected in all the glory of summer that surrounds us. The psalmist puts it this way in Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God." The heavens declare His glory. "The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech, there is no language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world." And what is this glory of God? What are the heavens declaring? Simply put, the glory of God is the greatness, the beauty, the perfection of all that God is. Everything that God does, everything that God is, he's greatness beyond description. And every characteristic of God and every action of God, He's beautiful in every way imaginable. He is totally perfect. This is the reality that the Bible describes for us. The reality that there exists only one in this vast universe who's the greatest, who's the most beautiful, and the most perfect in every way. There's none like Him. He has no rivals. There is no valid comparisons that could be made to Him. He's in a category all of His own. He alone is gloriously great, gloriously beautiful, and gloriously perfect. In all of these glories, all of this glories of summer that are part of this glory-saturated creation are placed in our lives for one primary purpose. What is that purpose? It's to point us. It's to point us to the glory of the One who's made it all. You see, we were never meant to live for earthbound glory alone. We were never meant to find satisfaction and contentment of heart here. We were never meant to satisfy our deepest desires and longings in the things that God has made. Yes, the world is filled with glory. Yes, God designed it that way. Yes, God designed us to take in all this glory and to savor it, to bask in it, even to play and romp in it. But all of this glory was never meant to be the stopping place for our hearts. And so this summer, as you bask in the glories of summer, don't stop. Don't stop there. All this glory is designed to point us to the One who alone is worthy of all the awe and all the worship of our glory-hungry hearts. It's all a sign. Remember, the sign is not the thing. The sign points to the thing. You can't stop at the sign. It will never deliver what the thing that it's pointing to you will deliver. The glories of summer have a purpose. They're meant to point our hearts to the place where the awe and wonder of our heart should ultimately rest, and that is in the glorious God who has created it all and whose glory is reflected in everything that He has made for us to enjoy. You see, there's no glorious thing in this entire world that can give rest to your soul or peace or become a source of identity or provide meaning and purpose to your life, contentment to your restlessness, joy to your heart, fulfillment to your hunger. Looking to earthly glories to satisfy these longings and desires is a foolish work of futility, if I could put it that way. It just won't work. The things of this world cannot bear the weight of the glory that we seek in our hearts. They're not designed to do what we so often ask them to do. Paul Tripp puts it this way: even if you could experience the most glorious situations, the most glorious locations, and maybe some of you have a place that comes in mind. You've got that list, places you want to see, the bucket list, we call it sometimes. Imagine the most glorious location, experience, achievement, or possession in this life, Tripp goes on. even if you could experience all of that, your heart would still not be satisfied. Creation has no capacity to bring contentment to your heart. Only God can satiate your hunger. And in satiating our hunger, only God can give rest and peace to our hearts. You see, the glories of summer, oh, they're very glorious, but they cannot bear the weight of your glory-hungry heart. And so if we spend our summer basking in all this glory, but miss the one whose glory they're pointing us to, then we really miss the point of all the glories of summer. Yes, even the most spectacular day out on the water, even the most glorious catch of fish, even the most stunning sunset your eyes will ever behold, even the best, most scrumptious ice cream cone you will ever enjoy. And yes, I have to admit, even the most tender and scrumptious steak paired with the most delightful IPA, all the glories of summer, if we do not allow them to point us to the God whose glory they will reflect, will only leave us hungry for more. And so the deeper invitation of the summer is this. Oh yes, bask in the glory of the summer, but allow them to do what they are made to do. Allow them to invite you, to invite your heart to bask in the glory of the one they point us to. Bask in the one whose glory surrounds us and is reflected in all this glory that he gives us to enjoy. And one more thing as we close, one final invitation. There's something about these glories of summer that burrow a hole into the depth of our hearts, the deep longings and desires that are there. And the things about our deep longings is that if we learn to listen to them, they're crying out for a destination. But it's a destination that is ultimately beyond this life and this world. See, all the glories of this world spark our longings for another world. Spark our longings for the presence of our glorious God that one day, we are told, will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. A future world, a future life where the signs will no longer have to work so hard. The signs will no longer have to work so hard to point us to the glory that they reflect, because we will see that glory face to face and live in the presence of his glory forever. Our longings one day will reach their final destination. It's hard to put words to it. It's something I've been reflecting a lot on, particularly in the light of the heaviness of sorrow and grief. But our hearts will one day finally have all the things that they're searching for. Our celebrations will never end or grow tired. Our hunger will finally be satisfied. We will finally enjoy those relationships with loved ones that will last forever. It will not be taken from us. Our desires will finally be filled. Words fail. But friends, the glory that awaits us is unimaginable. Oh, we'll still have the signs. The glories of summer will remain for eternity. The physical creation with all of its glories, the sunsets, the cool breezes, that sizzling steak on the hot grill, even that delicious IPA, the campsite in the woods. And we'll enjoy bodies that can and will continue to drink in all the glory, ears to hear it all, eyes to behold it all, hands to touch it all, mouths to taste it all, noses to smell it all, and our hearts will finally be fixed. Our longings will have reached their final destination. All the glorious signs will lead our hearts to worship the one whose glory is reflected in all that he has made. And so bask in the glory of summer. Enjoy it. Drink it in. But allow the signs to do what they were made to do. Allow them to point your heart to the awe and worship of the one whose glory they reflect. And on this side of eternity, when they still leave you broken and empty and longing for more, allow them to point you to the one in whose hands, in whose presence we will spend eternity on the new heavens and new earth with resurrected bodies and forever, forever to bask in the glory of what he's made. This is our hope. This is our invitation for the summer. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks for the glories of summer, for all the glorious things that you have made. And God, help us not take for granted that we live in what many would describe as one of the most glorious places on this earth, certainly in this continent. God, help us not to grow tired or old to that reality, and to all the glories of summer that we will savor and bask in. And God, would our hearts be tuned to allow the glory around us to do what you've made it to do, to stir our longings for the eternity that awaits us, to point our hearts to the one whose glory is reflected in all of it. And God, in your grace and mercy, would you please prevent our hearts from stopping at the glory and missing what it's created to do. May this be a summer where we bask in the awe and wonder of who you are and all that you've made. And may this be a summer in which our deepest desires and longings for the future that you have in store for us are stirred and fanned into flame. And so, God, lead us, we pray, in whatever this summer has in store for us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to sing in response a song, the first song, I believe, I don't know which ones you kept, but great. Creation Calls. It's kind of a response, I think, to the message. So.